Hello, and welcome to Small Business Big Impact. I'm your host, Jeanne Guilfoy, the CEO of Meridian Credit Union. A quality that describes many of the business owners we work with at Meridian is courageous. Many of the stories we're featuring in this season are coming from business owners who completely changed their path to follow their passion. Courage is something I like to talk about, particularly with women who want to advance their career, because many of them stop at saying yes to an unknown new role. In my career, I have said yes to things I didn't have the full qualifications to do, but I jumped in and it sent me down a new path of learning and gained confidence to go to that next level. Today, we're welcoming Catherine Hajinian to the show, the founder of Mon Petit Chou. After leaving a career in healthcare, she turned her love of gardening into a thriving business that creates stunning edible bouquets. She's a shining example of what happens when you choose to take that leap of faith. Even when life throws you challenges like grief, self-doubt, and the unexpected joys of motherhood. So let's dive in. I'm happy to welcome Catherine Hajinian, the founder of Mon Petit Chou, to the podcast. She is a trailblazing entrepreneur who turned her love for gardening and creativity into an edible bouquet business with heart. After leaving a career in healthcare, Catherine faced a major turning point, choosing to follow her passion and start her business out of her own home. Thanks, Catherine, for joining me, and I'm really excited to hear more about your journey.
Thank you, Jane.
So I always like to start at the beginning. So maybe give me a high-level overview of your journey to Mon Petit Chou.
Okay.
It seems that gardening has always been a love of yours.
Definitely.
So tell me more.
Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. Just wanted to first start off by saying thank you for taking the time and to Meridian overall, providing me with so many beautiful experiences. And of course, winning the Small Business Awards and being a recipient has definitely been a great impact. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Starting off, I definitely have always loved gardening. It's always been something that, starting from my little girl to youth, I have always had a passion for it, but predominantly a passion for health in general overall. So from university, going in, taking psychology and health, majoring in that, starting off with, you know, an office clerk job at the hospital at UHN to working my way up into project management and change management positions, were fantastic. And I felt like I was close to healthcare and making impact for patients, especially at the medical records level. However, this inner voice was always kind of hindering, like most of us, I believe, have. There's always this passion inside of us, this fire, but we always question it and doubt it, perhaps. At least I was always doubting it. How do I turn my passion for growing and doing this? So I would have to say that it didn't happen till later on in life when I became pregnant with my first daughter. Of course, the hopes was to go back to work after my mat leave. And during that time, I will just say I did lose my mother very unfortunately very quickly. You know, we're chatting one day and she was living in Portugal, and the next day I get a call that she's gone. So I won't get emotional. We've let that all out today, but I will say that was a huge turn in my life, like many times it does when you have grief or a loss like that. And about in between that time as well, I had my other daughter. I got pregnant with my other daughter. So within a short period of time, both my girls are 15 months apart. So dealing with postpartum and grief was kind of something I wasn't prepared for. However, it was definitely a game shift in my mind. The person who I lost was actually my biggest influence of, you know, be yourself, be authentic, and always follow your dreams. Ironically enough, she never did, right? She was always someone who's just working for the family. So I think in that moment, it was like, okay, I lost the most important person in my life. What can I do with that? How can I alchemize that? Versus, you know, it's important to sit with grief and it's important to sit with our postpartum and everything we go through, but I'm not one to dwell. You know, I've always learned resilience in my life and adaptability. So I took that and I said, well, you know, and through some conversations with friends, they're like, Kath, you love gardening. Like, you love giving bouquets out of your garden. That was sort of my passion. And I would just laugh about it. I'm like, how am I going to do that? Like, how do I go from this amazing job that I have and change that? I just did it. You know, the Nike concept, you just do it. So I basically said, let's put our fear and our doubts aside. And while I'm home with my children and I became a stay-at-home mom, I had the opportunity to grow on that, build my business plan, speak to mentors, and here I am today. I won't get too deep into it in case we cover other angles.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So you talked a bit about your emotional state with the passing of your mother. I'm really sorry about that. And then the joy of having two kids. And then starting your own business is also a massive challenge. So we rarely talk about the emotional toll that happens when you're taking a big risk like that. So maybe you can share a bit about what those experiences have taught you along the way. And how did you push through those?
I think, you know, I may have a lot of cliches along with this interview, but I've learned to harness a lot of things that I think a lot of us may think of as cheesy or, you know, kind of out there. And I've learned to harness them as actual gifts. Because when I was growing up, you know, a lot of these, being an empath, I used to hear that a lot. I didn't even know what that meant. I just knew that when I was around people, I could feel them on a very deep level. And I could connect with people on a very deep level. And I had to learn how to navigate that because it's not everyone's open to that, right? Not everyone's alert or aware, feeling comfortable with someone that can read someone very well, right? Or call out something in a compassionate way, right? So taking that, I would say, it's not everyone can be as resilient. It's something you learn. And even just working throughout the healthcare field, I would have to say in a weird way, my corporate hat taught me resilience as well, right? Because I'm sure you can relate, Jeanne, and all the beautiful hats that you wore. You're a powerhouse in itself, but that's the thing. When you're working in corporations, you can have these game plans, project plans. You're working with big stakeholders. You have timelines, you have goals, and then something just happens and it shifts the whole plan. So I actually wore a lot of my hats from empathy as a child to obviously have a beautiful mentor as my mother who never got to work. She came here as an immigrant, by the way. Never really got to work in the fields that she wanted to work in. Was working many multiple jobs to make it happen for us, right? So I learned from those things of being like, okay, it's great to work hard. But I want to work for something that makes me love it as well. Within the corporate world, when you're dedicated so much to projects, especially in change management and implementation is what I worked in as well with IT. I just learned to, you know, always have a backup plan. So that was something for myself. And to know that you have to be adaptable. You know, I'm on a podcast today and hoping to encourage other fellow entrepreneurs or people sitting on the fence, you know, what am I going to do? How could I ever do that? Fear is such an inhibiting thing, you know, and it can really hold us back. And I realize that sometimes when you just let go of fear and you try, as long as you're not doing any harm and you're truly got goodness in your heart and you've got a good intentions, again, cheesy as it may sound, the universe will return it back to you. And it's not going to give it back to you in all those ways, right? Like I make a joke about, you know, was a small business owner, but I was also recognized as the most outstanding startup. Never would have expected that in my life. And the doubt that didn't match the outcome, right? And so now I've been able to, you know, I take risks, I enter contests, I talk to people within those spheres of like, I don't know, Kath, I really would love to do this. But I said, just try it. What do you have to lose, right?
I was at an event this morning talking to all of our retail leaders and they're asking me, because we've had, you know, a year with lots of dynamics happening. I'm sure you have too. And small businesses across the country certainly are, you know, starting to emerge out of a very turbulent time. They asked me about resiliency and a lot of the same things you've talked about, actually, you know, I would say the same. You know, I'm an empath. I, you know, think deeply about people. I have a great sense of curiosity. And I have this mantra that I think I've adopted since I was young. Like, if it's to be, it's up to me. And it sounds like a lot of what your journey has been is the same, right? So making the choice to kind of, you know, do what you're doing. And I love how you wove in, you know, the fact that, you know, there were stakeholders over here. I just now need to learn who these stakeholders are over here. I think that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, I love that mantra. That gave me goosebumps. It is.
Right? If it's to be, it's up to me. And I think the other one is like, if I don't do it, somebody else will, right?
So that's huge.
So how did you come up with this idea around, you know, making edible arrangements?
Thank you for asking that. To be frank with you, I think we're all familiar with edible arrangements as a company. There's that brand, correct? I get compared, oh, it's an edible arrangement, which I love. I think that what they did was they were sort of the people who started that campaign, right? And I love that. So similar idea, but I do love flowers. I love receiving flowers, but I was a little saddened by every time you have to throw them out. You can't generally propagate them or regrow them unless you let it go to seed. And not a lot of people know that little aspect. It's more just the flowers are dry, throw them out. And so although it's a beautiful thing, I figured, I'm like, there's got to be a niche way that I can make my garden bouquets into something that's really going to kind of revolutionize, you know, this concept. So I wanted to have an edible arrangement, but I love beauty. I think it's very important to, you know, care about what you do and make it look beautiful, but also edible. I researched the flower industry quite heavily. So during that time when I was trying to build my business case, I looked at the model and I've been kind of following in those footsteps, right? So that you're not reinventing the wheel, but you're refining it, you know, and that's sort of my mantra in general in life is, you know, there's an opportunity for everybody in the world to do something that they love, right? And we all look at, oh, but I mean, my thing is there's so many t-shirt companies. Like, how many t-shirt companies do you know? But it doesn't stop people from creating their own t-shirts, right? So I took this concept and I thought, okay, I want to just not sell vegetables or anything like that inside a bouquet. I want people to be able to maybe propagate them or continue to grow them or make it a story where they're, you know, growing it with their children, because I love to do that with my kids. So I do grow everything on my own from seed to harvest with, I'd say, so 98% of it. And 2% I work with local farmers where maybe they have edible flowers. So that was one thing. I wanted to bring in flowers so that I could kind of warm the concept up to people. A lot of people, when they first receive the bouquet, they think it is flowers. But when you look at it up close, it looks textured, looks beautiful, because I am doing it from start to finish. So no one else is touching it. There's no insects. When I work in my garden, I try to incorporate my garden so it's more organic, because then I can truly say it's organic with the sun and the soil. It's a bit of a thing growing vertically with farmers, but I wanted to bring the two marriage together, right? Because I don't believe in fully going vertical or hydroponically. I believe we can find a marriage, because just like you were mentioning about small businesses, how we're kind of coming out of that. I'm assuming you were talking about the pandemic.
Yeah.
That's been coming back into it.
The pandemic, the interest rate environment, the whole thing, right? It's like, as soon as you come out, you're like, boom, slam with something else. So
exactly. And I think a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs and such had to, back to that resilience piece, going to be a theme, I think, in our chat. How do you find a way to get back on board, you know, and change things up? So this was my way to be like, it's a different concept, but it's kind of still warm enough people to understand it, right? So I do work with local farmers to do the edible flowers, because it takes quite a long time to grow them and it wouldn't make sense for me to grow them anymore vertically. But yeah, so I don't know if I've answered the whole question. I know it was a long-winded, but yeah. That's
fantastic. You have shared with us that 24 and 25 are an incubation period for your business. And what are some of your main goals during the next year?
Yeah, the incubation period, because I started in my basement. So I'm not sure if we touched upon that. I started in my basement growing and, you know, practicing and seeing how long it would take to grow, even germinating seeds. And I had a beautiful playroom for my daughters that I had to divide that up. So they basically had like a greenhouse downstairs plus their playroom. And now it's fully back to their own playroom. So when we found the space, it is 200 square feet, but it was a fantastically huge impact. I got to get higher towers. So I was working with 5-foot towers. Now I'm working with 7-foot towers. So it helps me grow just that much more. Again, the space to even do my seedlings and have my, I have a massive germination chamber that my laptop is currently sitting on. And that basically is, this was my biggest investment actually that Meridian also was able to help support me on, which is fantastic. And I'm so grateful, because it's a pretty high-end machine that can help me expedite it. So for this incubation period, I'm hoping to master my workflow, basically my operational workflow. It has been, in the last 2 months, unbelievable. Like, I come in here and I can just, it's like I've created my own job, you know? It's, I've literally created my own workflow. So operationally, now I'm starting to get more comfortable. So that would be, I'd say, for 2025. I'm actually a little bit ahead of my goal, which is nice. But I would love to now go on to, I'm trying to remember the name, sorry, online platform, so people can actually order online. Right now, I'm just taking orders over Instagram or anyone that finds me on Google or calls me or emails me, which is lovely. And that has been my, I guess, hesitancy of going online, because I want to make sure that I can maintain the orders, right? Based on the uniqueness of it being something I'm growing from seed to harvest. So once I get
that. How long does it take to go from seed to harvest?
It depends on the crop, which is not a bad thing. I mean, right now, some things can take 6 weeks to 10 weeks. Some can take 12 weeks. So the time is long. But now what I've learned is, if I could constantly seeding and have the seedlings growing, I can propagate those seedlings as I'm making bouquets. And I couldn't do that before at home. So my operational workflow has been tremendous. I can carry out more bouquets. I can promote more and I can actually fulfill sales much. I've never turned down a sale. Recently, I did once, but I'll be frank with you. And even if someone's listening, it was just like they never purchased from me before and they wanted to basically get 2-for-1 deal. And for that moment, I had a moment in me because I'm such a giver, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm so scared if I'm going to lose business if I say no. And to be frank with you, I thought about it. I was like, I don't want to offer something. I know what my value is now, right? Like, I don't need to know. So I've learned that. That's been a huge thing for me. Being in here too has empowered me to like have more confidence and know that I don't need to cut corners when I'm doing something from start to finish, right? There's a whole passion behind it. So I think that's more of what I've learned is an education piece, perhaps, that in going into 2025 is showcasing more of like, there's value in this. It's truly helpful. And you can take the seedling or take a piece of, you know, the basil, for example, and regrow it in your garden. So it's a gift that keeps on giving, you know? So that was one aspect. And then the online platform would be my biggest goal.
I love the fact that your business is something you can touch and feel and smell and connected to the earth, and it's connected to health, and it's connected to, you know, we learn a lot about food insecurity, and you're creating a regenerative way of, right, beauty and food. And then you're like full digital. You're on Instagram and you want to have a website and you're like, right. And you know, we talk about this digital transformation and how do you keep up in financial services with the digital transformation? And I look at an entrepreneur like you and I think you already think like that. Like you're creating a product, you're a logistics company, you know, you're trying to manage the flow of the business. So you're not taking on too much and your value proposition is being held up and all that kind of stuff. So like, I don't know how you learned all that, but that's really amazing for an entrepreneur with a first-time entrepreneur to really be very particular, it sounds like, about how you're going to market. It's fantastic. So right now, you're doing everything yourself. What does an ideal team look like for you in the future as you scale this? And how do you see your role evolving?
I would love to have a potential team of 8 to 10 people. I think that's sort of my goal. There's these vertical growing containers, which you may or may not have seen, but once I mention it, you might be coming more to your radar. So that's actually what this company does as well. Within these containers, you can grow up to, I think it's 1,500 pounds of like lettuce, for example, within a certain time frame. And it's very regenerative. It's very much where, you know, we're going in terms of sustainability and such. So I envisioned, although I did look into it a few years back, I wasn't there yet financially. So that'd be a goal within the 5-year kind of roadmap to invest in one of those. And then if I get, you know, there, I would need probably someone to manage more of an operational hat. I would love to be less operations and more, you know, the marketing, getting to, you know, expand the business more, not that sense. So I would love to see that at least a team of 3, perhaps in the next 2 years. Or I can have someone that's helping me manage this component of operations that I can trust and can and is interested as well. And then have someone who can help me do more of my marketing piece. The other next 5 years, so the 10-year roadmap, eventually I'd love to get into education. I actually always wanted to be a teacher, but I never fulfilled it. So I would love to incorporate this into the school programs.
Hey, I'm a big fan of the vertical farming. I think it, I think we need it. And B, we have so much space out there that can be repurposed. And it's, you know, to grow healthy, like live food and feed more people is like, I think we should be all in doing that. And so I love the fact that you partnered with this company, right? How did you find them and how did you decide to do that?
They're called ZipPro. They're one of the few innovators here in Canada that does these vertical growing. So I follow them because they're around the longest and usually, you know, they provide the most education. And I started noticing everyone will always want to do something similar, right? But I connected with them and I really enjoyed what they did. And how I started off was actually this Zip Garden. It's like a mini iPod kind of looking. It's very pretty. Looks nice in your home. And they said, that's a great way to start. So when my sister was visiting from Portugal, I just said to her one day, I'm like, hey, if we just... could you watch my 2 girls if we drove there and back in the same day and picked up this thing? And we did it because And so we went for a road trip, my husband and I, and got to meet them. They brought us into their growing facility. And it was just like, I could cry just thinking about it. When I walked in there, I was like, this is it. Like, this is what I envision doing. So I've carried that vision with me. And I'll say it, vision, a lot because that's what I tend to do. I am a very visualization person. And whenever something's not going at the speed of my vision, I have to sit back and say, it's not your time yet, right? Like you were saying similar before. So, but I mean, fast forward, it's been almost 3 years and I'm now at this stage, which is amazing. So they've been fantastic in helping me give tips and all that stuff. So, yeah.
And you talked about, so you're in your 200 square feet space. And I think you want to do kind of a cafe, is that right? So maybe talk a bit about that.
Yeah, it was something similar. A lot of ideas, but again, the roadmap is about a 10-year roadmap because I'm trying to be realistic to it, right? I don't believe in just shotgunning all these ideas, but it's called a biophilic environment. And biophilic environments are when you're basically surrounded by greenery. It could be plants, it could be tropical plants, it could be whatever. But I do envision a cafe where literally it's farm to table idea, okay, but direct concept. So you're basically sitting at a cafe where it could be something like this or something similar, and you're just surrounded by all the greens and whatever salad you order, it's coming from wall to your plate. That's my ideal vision. It sounds a little out there, but
I think it's fantastic.
I think it's like amazing, right? To think like, and we have a lot of beautiful farmers around here too that provide that freshness, but a lot of it is 100 kilometer radius. So this would bring you down from 100 kilometer to a footsteps, right? So that's where I would envision it. I've been very lucky that the building that I'm in is actually a newer building. So it's a new build industrial complex and it's sort of mixed usage. So I've been fortunate because I'm one of, right now there's four other entrepreneurs in here. One is a yoga studio and they have a cafe. So part of it is I hope to test my greens with their cafe. I'm going to be getting into microgreens in 2025 and that'll be another stream. Hopefully I can generate more income that way because right now, obviously it takes quite a long time to do the bouquets. So working with them, I have two other entrepreneurs that are sandwiched in between me too. One's a spa and one's a hairdresser. So I think that environment itself, even having my sign on the door, so not in the basement, people will get to know me. That's hopefully going to get me to that level. And I keep joking that if the space across from me isn't fulfilled in a year, I'm going to be going in there.
That's
so
great.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
So you've shown incredible resilience and innovation in building your business. So as we hope other young entrepreneurs and older entrepreneurs wanting to do this, what words of encouragement or advice would you share?
Oh, that's a great question. I never thought I'd be on this side of giving that advice, right? Because I was and even still am sometimes that person, even though I'm living it now, right? Because let's be honest, the thing I miss the most is that paycheck. And you get the benefits. So all these beautiful bells and whistles sometimes that encourage us to keep going in one position, but don't allow us to fulfill the dreams, right? That's just completely honest and transparent because that is a risk you have to take sometimes, right? To fulfill the dream. And what I do is completely different than maybe someone else's vision that could be something more monetizing quickly. So my point of bringing that up is to not let that be something that stops you, right? The cheesy thing of Rome wasn't built in a day is true, but it's one of the biggest places people visit now in the world, right? So I think it's not just jumping into something with, make sure you have a plan. That's probably one of the most important. Make a good business plan. And know that you're not just going to stick to that one business plan. Make sure it's something that's ever evolving. You know, humans were ever evolving. So trying not to get trapped in this idea, it has to be one way, you know. I know myself sometimes when you're working alone, that can be a bit of a detriment, right? Because you become so passionate and so ingrained. So perhaps my advice, and I do have a great support system, you know, family and friends who've been encouraging me along the way, and that helps. So making sure you're aligned with a good support network is probably one of the biggest things because if you, again, don't have that, it doesn't mean you can't find it. You don't have to find your family. You know, I found it through following people that I admire what they do, learning their story, and following them before I even follow people who are going to give me advice that don't know what I want to do, right? And then you can get easily discouraged. So I would say, yeah, having a support network, finding your support network, finding your tribe, writing that business plan. And again, it doesn't have to be, mine started off, I showed people my first business plan was just bullet points. You know, I would have ideas while washing dishes, pause, write them down. I have a lot of notes in my phone. And now looking back, that things have come to fruition that I thought were just what I thought was a crazy idea. So I hope that's not too long-winded, but it's, yeah.
Well, I love the circular nature of your business on so many levels. It's just so incredible, like, right? Sort of do no harm to the world as like, right? Grow, you know, regrow, you know, pass on, you know, I think it's just fantastic. And I think you're going to be wildly successful.
Oh, thank you so much. I was going to say, even the business cards are plantable. So I try to do everything sustainable. And it's, yeah, it's been a beautiful journey. So
a big thank you again to Catherine. I truly appreciate how open she was during our conversation. She shared so much about her personal journey and how those experiences have shaped the way she approaches her business. At Meridian, stories like Catherine's are the reason we do what we do. Empowering people to make bold, brave decisions is at the heart of our mission. I encourage you to support Mon Petite Choux by following their business on social media. The links are in the description. If you're ready to take the next step in your own journey, whether it's turning your passion into a business or simply finding ways to make your dreams a reality, Meridian is here to help. Visit our website to learn more. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thanks for joining us.